In this video, we're going to cover some of the more technical aspects of structuring your website and your content to be optimized for SEO. So the general layout of your website should make sense from a hierarchical perspective. The most important pages on your website should be close to the root. And as you get progressively deeper into the website, the URLs should get more specific and less valuable per se. The way that you should structure your site so that it makes sense is you should have your domain, and then you should have a blog. But on your blog, instead of publishing all of your articles and SEO related content, you should be posting about your website and about your business. The blog is a way to communicate with customers, to be able to communicate with an audience, to be able to update people about what's going on with your business. A blog is useful for a few reasons, but certainly any type of announcements or anything like that can attract links if you have a meaningful enough event for your business. And the blog is a place to put that because it's specifically related to your business. If you are producing SEO related content, you should either put it at the root at slash keyword, so it'd be yourwebsite.com/keyword, or you should do it as a hub, and you have your hub keyword and your sub hub keywords. And so that's how you should produce your resources, your guides, any SEO specific content. This helps keep the URL nice and clean for when it shows up in Google, because the way that results show up in Google, it'll have yourwebsite.com. And so if it's slash blog slash the ultimate guide to XYZ, then people will see that in search results, and it'll probably decrease your click-through rate because the URL, number one, isn't as clean as it could be. And number two, typically people don't go to blogs necessarily to get information. Whereas if it was just yourwebsite.com/keyword, the keyword that you're targeting, then people might be more apt to click through that result. And then lastly, your marketing pages. You should have pages for your features, your products, the services that you offer, just so that you're showing up in Google search results for branded keyword searches. This includes pricing pages. You could even have dedicated feature pages if you wanted to, but you want to cover all of your brand searches that people might be looking for, things that people might be Googling about your business. You want to cover those on marketing pages. And those can double as commerce specific keywords as well. If you're able to add a bit of context about what the feature offers and the way that it's able to serve customers, then you can target more generic keywords with these marketing pages. And they do tend to rank if there's really low difficulty for a different keyword. Don't be shy about the content that you produce on your marketing pages. They can actually be very useful commerce tools. And so a really common thing that I see that would be an issue is that you have blog posts where the URL structure is the year, month, day, slash title of the post. I wouldn't do that. And also I've seen where the URL for a resource or an article, instead of using the keyword after the slash, they use the actual title of the post, which isn't specifically keyword targeted. And that can decrease your click-through rate because it's not specifically written the way that people are searching for that piece of content. The page URLs should have keywords with hyphens and descriptive words if you're not specifically targeting keywords. So it shouldn't be a bunch of words that are useless or that don't provide context. You shouldn't write a sentence as your page URL. It should be just descriptive words and keywords with hyphens. I tend to stick to keywords with hyphens specifically for SEO related content. The title and description on your site, it should be descriptive and concise. You want to avoid keyword stuffing, so that's putting the keyword in too many times, but you definitely want to mention your keyword in your title tag and in your description when you are producing content on your website. You want to add a byline and a date to your article. This will help Google contextualize when the article was published. And if your byline adds any authority to the content, you definitely want to have that present, because if it is able to demonstrate trustworthiness to Google, or maybe you've published content in the past and that was deemed as trustworthy, then Google understands that the person that wrote this content is trustworthy and they should have no problem throwing it in the rankings, and people clicking through to the content will trust it. For any content that is structured like a hub, or if it has long content, maybe 3,000, 4,000 words plus, I would definitely include some some sort of table of contents. Even if it's only 2,000 words, I would include a table of contents. If it's really long, then I would include some sort of floating table of contents so that it's a little more persistent, so that people can hop through as they're reading the content. Whereas if it's a little shorter, like 2,000 words, it's fine to just keep the table of contents at the top and people can jump to the specific section that they're looking for. But these are great user experience signals to Google because it helps people jump through longer content, and they know that the quicker that people can get access to the specific information that they're looking for, then it's going to be a more valuable piece of content. Definitely include the table of contents and navigation. And you can just do these as internal links. You can do like a bulleted list of internal links within the post to go to different headered sections. Or like I said, you can build out a full out navigation. And you saw this in the hubs examples from the keyword research module. You can build out a navigation like the Atlassian articles and help navigate people to multiple different pages within the hub. As you're producing the content, you want to use as many rich data resources as you possibly can and structure your content in a way that is concise and valuable. The way to do this is to not only use text to provide value for people. So you want to be able to use tables for data, or ordered lists for sequences, or unordered lists for options. These lists and presenting information in a way where it's higher density and easy to consume makes it a much more impactful piece of content rather than just having a wall of text that people have to read through and synthesize in their own brain to be able to understand relationships between other pieces of information. Another example of this would be charts based on data. If you're able to produce line graphs and things like that, it helps people understand more contextually what's going on in the piece of content. And it's a high user experience signal, and Google understands this. And like I've said all along, the better the user experience, the more trustworthy the content is, and ultimately the more Google is going to trust you and send you more traffic. When you're producing content on the internet, you want to use short and engaging paragraphs. You don't want to write long walls of text. And I've covered this a few times, but you don't want to have a long wall of text that people have to pay attention to and sift through and read from beginning to end. You want to be able to provide concise and quick value to people. And you want people to be able to skim through your content, but be able to get the value that they need from skimming. When you write really long paragraphs, people might not get the value out of your article because they might not read the whole middle of your paragraph. Maybe they'll just read the beginning of the end. A lot of times when I'm skimming content with long paragraphs, I just read the first sentence to thumb through the content and find the information that I'm looking for. So use short and engaging paragraphs. You're talking 1 to 2 sentences, maybe 3 max. And this is going to help people read your content and get more value from your content. When you put images in your content, you want to definitely add an alt tag. This adds context to the image for Google, and this will help your images rank in Google's images. And also, this will help contextualize images so that Google knows the image is specifically related to other content in your article. So it just helps with Google understanding what's in the image. So something that they say on their Google search guidelines is that you shouldn't put important text in the images exclusively. So if there's text in the image, maybe include that in the alt tag so that Google understands what's going on in the image, because they're not scanning images for text and pulling that image out as the alt tag. And then you also want to optimize the placement. So you don't want to just put images randomly in an article. You want to be able to put them by the content that is relevant to it. And you also want to have a good simple URL structure for images. And similarly with the URLs of your content, you want to have good clean URLs for your images. This helps you show up in Google Images, and it helps Google have just a little bit more context for what's going on in the image and how it relates to the other content on your website. So this is an A tag. If you're not a developer, this is what links are on the internet. When you're putting links in your content, you want to add actual web addresses. You don't want to add JavaScript to your A tags. You want to make sure that your links are resolvable by Google. They're crawlable by Google. This is going to increase the trustworthiness of your website. You want to add concise and contextual and descriptive anchor text. You don't want to use generic words, learn more or see here or link or something like that. You want to add more information and more context to the link by using text that is descriptive of what that link goes to. You don't want to use inline links right next to each other. You want to be able to space out your links so that there's context around the links to be able to demonstrate to Google that the link fits in contextually with the paragraph that somebody is reading. And you don't want your anchor text to be too long. Obviously, it's fine to use a few different words, but you don't want a run-on sentence that's an entire link to another piece of content or another page on your website. You don't want any empty links. You don't want links on your site that don't point to anything. That's going to decrease your trustworthiness to Google. Sitemaps, generally your CMS that you use for your website should automatically create a sitemap. So you should be able to find that whether you use WordPress or Webflow. Doesn't really matter. You definitely want to generate a sitemap. Generating a sitemap can just help Google crawl your website after you submit it to the Google Search Console. And then that makes it easier for Google to get through your website. And if it's easier for them to get through your website, then Google will index your website more. And when you produce new content, then Google's going to show it in the rankings faster. The thing that you want to make sure is that it's valid syntax so that when Google scrapes it and Google looks at it, they're able to resolve all the URLs and they're able to get through your website. There's a few different valid formats for sitemap. Make sure that it works. There's sitemap checkers on the internet that you can use to double check your sitemap. Your robots.txt should be syntactically correct. There's a few different parameters that you can use to tell Google where they can crawl and where they can't crawl on your website. So you can specify the user agent. You can talk to different bots, whether it's the Bing bot or the Yandex bot. There's a few different bot scrapers on the internet. You can talk to that specific bot and you can disallow them from going to places on your website. So if you have like administrative pages or something like that, then you can use this to make sure that Google doesn't index that content and rank that content on the internet. And that keeps it a little more private. Then you can also specifically target all bots and you can allow them to scrape all of your content. So you have the root here and this allows all bots to scrape all of the content on your site. And this is the way that you want your robots.txt set up so that Google is able to see all of the content on your website. And also you want to include your sitemap in the robots.txt. This just helps Google find your sitemap if you haven't submitted it in the Google Search Console. Definitely double check your robots.txt. I've seen in the past people have issues with their robots.txt files. And if there are issues, then Google won't be able to index your site, and then ultimately you're not going to be able to show up in rankings at all. So you definitely want to make sure it's correct, make sure it's resolvable, and make sure it's spelled out correctly so that Google's able to get through your website. Last, there's just a little bit of information about structured data. So there's a ton of different structured data formats that Google uses to be able to pull out rich information from pages. So when you Google things, say you're Googling a recipe, at the top, there's these rich cards that have images and titles and how long the recipe takes and some stuff like that. All that information is pulled from a recipe structured data within the piece of content. And when you add that structured data to your content, it allows Google to rank you a bit differently because then you can show up in these rich results and it's going to really increase your click-through rate and people are going to visit your website more because you're showing up at the top because you're providing Google with more context and more information. There's a whole bunch of different structured data formats. Generally for generic article content, it doesn't really matter. There's blog structured data, but you don't really have to worry too much about adding structured data. But if you're doing specific formats like recipes and other things that have different data formats on Google, then you're going to want to Google some different ways to add structured data to your pages so that Google can pull out good information. And then ultimately, you're going to be able to rank better for different keywords that you're targeting.